Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk about a new RibFest event and check in on a Central Minnesota Beyond the L Ribbon Network. But first, we need to take a moment to remember. This week, we want to honor the life of Army Sergeant Jake Wallin. Sergeant Wallin demonstrated duty, honor, and country through his courage and service to others as a soldier while serving as a police officer for the Fargo Police Department. Sergeant Wallin's actions and sacrifice in the line of duty reflect the values of selfless service to community, state, and nation. Sergeant Wallin distinguished himself through exceptionally meritorious service to the Minnesota National Guard and the United States Army over his five-year career. He participated in overseas tours with services in Iraq and Afghanistan, earning a combat action badge. As a cannon crew member and a team chief, he provided leadership to multiple organizations, including Charlie Battery, one of the 194th Field Artillery Battalion, and Alpha Battery, one of the 151st Field Artillery Battalion. We are grateful to Sergeant Wallin for his service, offer our condolences and best wishes to his family and friends, and will honor his memory and the positive impact he left in our community. Now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here at home in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities to our Army National Guard units stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, St. Paul, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here, work here, and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partners. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter drug program. In our role as emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, wildfires, civil unrest, or a pandemic. While I'm in the community, people often stop me to thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude, but I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening of the show, we're going to learn about a new RibFest event that is being taken on by Joe Fowler and the Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563. Joe is joining us now. He is the current business manager with the Construction and General Laborers Union Local 563. Joe, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on. Appreciate the time.
Joe, can you explain to me Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563? Where are you out of? What trades are involved in it? And who's eligible to join?
Well, 563 is one of our laborers locals, and we're based out of Minneapolis. We have about just shy of 11,000 members, and we cover about two-thirds of the state of Minnesota and the entire state of North Dakota. And we are one of 15 trades that are affiliated within the Minnesota Building Trades, which as an organization represents around 70,000 union construction workers in the state. And those trades, I might miss a couple here, but from carpenters to roofers to iron workers, plumbers, electricians, finishers, elevator constructors, millwrights, teamsters. I know I'm missing a couple, but there's 15 of our individual trades who are affiliated through the state, representing, as I said, about 70,000 members. And they are located, their home headquarters is located there off of West 7th in St. Paul. I believe we're right now at our 77th annual building trades convention right now in Duluth.
So, Joe, that sounds like all the trades you need to either build a commercial building or build a house or to build anything. You need all of those specialties and all those guys and gals to step up to work together to get it done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you getting more and more women in the trades?
We are. We're doing quite well in regards to our outreach efforts to a lot of different targeted communities, whether that's women, BIPOC community members, or veterans. We're making very intentional efforts and have set up some programs that are now scalable. And and that's our effort, is to try to bring everybody in and give everybody an opportunity who's looking for one to make a fair living have some ability to retire with dignity and some good health care.
So, Joe, since the pandemic, we've heard a lot about supply chains and inability to get iron and inability to get products and things. And what I've heard over the last few years is there's really nobody left on the bench for the trades. Everybody that wants to work is out there working. Do you need a lot more people in the trades today?
You know, we will, and it's going to continue that way with the different federal funding sources helping all the states, but with money coming to Minnesota with a bonding bill that was just passed, I believe it was 2.6. It was the largest ever. You start mixing those things in, and we have billions of dollars of investments coming in over the next 10 years to the state. And you're right. The majority, I feel, of the trades have empty benches or pretty clear benches. So we're always looking to organize more folks for the opportunity and the career in the trades, because that's really what it is. It's a career, and we have the funding to make that happen for the next decade and then some. So, yes, we need people. I think pretty much every trade does.
So Joe, I'm guessing you've had a lot of baby boomers in the trades, and a massive number of those are retiring and calling it a career. That's got to add to your need for new people to learn the trades and to join your crews.
It certainly does. And, you know, the biggest problem with having folks like that retire is the leadership that they can show the next generation coming in. You know, that's how we continue to evolve, is making sure our more experienced men and women within the industry help educate, tutor, and learn the incoming generation, so that, you know, when they ride off in the sunset and retire, they know that the next generation is taking care of them and still getting the work done.
We're speaking with Joe Fowler with the Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563 on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Joe, we've got veterans, people coming off active duty, coming back from deployment. They're getting out of the military, and they're looking to figure out what's their next career. Do you have formal and informal apprentice programs where you can help veterans join your union and join the trades?
We absolutely do. We have the gold standard of apprenticeship programs, is what we call it, which is registered apprenticeship programs. Every one of our trades that's affiliated has a registered apprenticeship program in the state of Minnesota. And this state specifically is one of the strongest in the country as far as the regulations surrounding those apprenticeships. Our apprenticeship within the laborers is the largest within the state of Minnesota of the trades, and we're very proud of everything we do to try to bring folks in. And we're absolutely, again, wanting to bring veterans in as another part of our family. You know, soldiers, they show up on time, they do what they're told, they work hard, and they're just looking to be treated fair. And those are all things that make a great apprentice. So that's it just leans over to why we're doing that effort intentionally to try to connect folks. It just makes a lot of sense. And we value our veterans and our military family members. And, you know, if this is a way that we can help lessen the sacrifice or try to make it a way to repay the sacrifice, maybe for what we have for freedoms here, we're happy to do that.
Joe, we've got just about a minute left in this segment. Is this a way for veterans to work and learn and earn at the same time?
It is. Our model is an earn while you learn, because we don't have school debt. You don't necessarily get paid for training as a regular apprentice. However, there is the advantage of, if you're a military and veteran, you can use your GI Bill to help fund some of your schooling. The schooling comes with being an apprentice, but when regular individuals aren't getting paid, veterans can use their GI Bill to help fill that wage disparity while they're taking training, which is a nice advantage for folks who have access to a GI Bill.
Good information, Joe. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Joe Fowler from the Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563 on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. DAV of Minnesota Outdoors Program is committed to providing veterans with opportunity. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Joe Fowler with the Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563. He's the current business manager with the Construction and General Laborers Union, Local 563. It covers two-thirds of Minnesota, all of North Dakota, 15 different trades, 11,000 members. I hope I got that all right, Joe. And it's just about every trade a person could think of.
Well, you're pretty close. We're one trade, about 10,000 members, but the building trades represents about 70,000, and that is the 15 trades, our parent organization, we'll call it.
All right, very good. And we were talking about at the end of the last segment about an apprentice program, and if our listeners are interested in learning more about that, where do they go?
They can go to buildingstrongcommunities.org, and that's where that's our program. Our diversity, equity, and inclusion program that is specific to trying to provide opportunities to women, BIPOC community members, and veterans. They will probably be recruiting another cohort of approximately 80 folks to go through our 8 to 12 week program starting sometime in December, but it's never too early to get on that list. And even if you don't go through the program, that's a good way to connect with us, and maybe there's other opportunities outside of just that program for us to bring people in as well.
So you're interested in men, women, diversity, anybody that wants to go into the trades, buildingstrongcommunities.org.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Okay, now I know we've got some events coming up, and you've been involved with some organizations here in Minnesota, and I understand you've been involved with those that crew over in St. Paul that's called Serving Our Troops.
Yes, I have. Some great people over there, and I've built some really good friendships with that. Back in 2018, met up with Mr. Pat Harris, one of the founders of that organization, and he was talking about the program, and I said it sounded amazing, and I started getting involved, and I was able to be given an opportunity to try to go over and show some of my respects to our troops in 2019 when we went over to Camp Arifshan and serves our famous Mancini steaks to our soldiers over there.
I've been on one of those trips, Joe, and it's wonderful, and they say it's a simple thing, dinner with family, steak and a full meal for the troops, and then you pipe it back here by today's technology so that their family can have the same meal back here. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. It really is. It's the little things that they don't get to do when they're overseas, and that's having dinner with the family.
And you've got another little event coming up this weekend with the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls.
I do. Our organization as a whole through the building trades, now that we are officially a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization as of just about a year ago, the Red Bulls, the 34ID, is having, I believe it's their second annual family day, and we are sponsors of that event. So we will be out there probably 30 to 40 volunteers strong, with all our grills and cooking burgers and hot dogs and trying to make sure that we man the events, the bounce houses, the petting zoo, all of those things so that the soldiers get to spend that time with their families instead of trying to make the event happen. That's what we're there for. It's incredibly rewarding. It kind of feeds the soul as well as the belly and, the level of appreciation that the soldiers and their families show us is just, that is all that we need to make sure that we're using our influence to do good things.
Small way to say thank you to the Red Bull soldiers and their families. And I understand that when we're talking about 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls in Arden Hills, you got a new event coming up. We're calling RibFest that you and the Yellow Ribbon Networks are partnering to start a brand new event. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, yeah, it's our annual or our inaugural, but also hopefully annual fundraiser. So we thought, what better way to get a bunch of construction workers and the public together than over some good food? So the idea is we're going to have approximately 30 competitors, barbecue competitors total. We'll smoke hopefully around 450 racks of ribs and some chicken, and we have significant amount of prize money, over 8,000 for 11 different awards, and it's going to be hosted on the Red Bull Division headquarters, same place that their family day is being hosted. They're supportive of it, and we can't thank them enough for being willing to do that. And then the city of Arden Hills is fully supportive as well of it, and is really wanting to try to highlight and showcase this event so that they can as well grow their relationship with the Red Bulls, the Army National Guard there, that's right in Arden Hills. They want to try to bring the community and the trades and the military together. It'll be a little bit of a career fair as well. The trades will be represented there to be able to speak to anybody who has any interest or needs some information about what it's like to become an electrician or a carpenter or a laborer or, you know, a fitter. And then we'll have some contractors there as well that will be looking for some folks. Hopefully some direct hires can happen. There'll be a good kids area because it's a family-friendly event with bounce houses and all that fun stuff. And then, you know, the main attraction being the food. 3 o'clock, the ribs will be done, ready to be taste-tested by everybody, and hopefully we serve them right till they're gone. And it's a great event, hopefully going to raise a significant amount of money. I think we're already at over $40,000, which isn't too bad for our first run. And use that money to go back to the nonprofit 501c3 to continue to do good things for military veterans and their families.
It's very good. We're speaking with Joe Fowler with Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563 on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Joe, the inaugural Yellow Ribbon Rib Fest is going to be Saturday, September 16th, 2023, open to the public, starting at 1 o'clock. You said the ribs will be done about 3. What do you need to that's a little ways away yet. Do you need some sponsors? Do you need volunteers? Do you need donations? What do you need?
We'll take them all. We certainly could always use more sponsors. The more we raise, the more good work we can do. As far as volunteers, yeah, it's going to take about 70 folks, we think, to be able to manage this event. And we're always interested in growing our volunteer list. So if anybody is interested, we can get you the information. Minnesota Building Trades Rib Fest on Facebook. We have a page up. Let us know on that you're interested in volunteering, and we'll reach out to you and get a hold of you for that September 16th event. So, use your influence to do good things. So if you got the time, come help us.
So it's facebook.com/MN Building Trades Rib Fest. You can find some information there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor or a volunteer or just making a donation, please go there and take care of that. Joe, we're running out of time. Just got a couple of minutes left. Can you tell us once again about this apprentice program? Who's eligible? Who do you want? How long does it take? And I like it when you say we can learn while we earn.
Well, the apprenticeship programs, everybody's a little bit different in their trade. Some of them are open year-round. Some are only at certain times. So you can do direct with them. But the program that we set up specific to recruit some veterans is buildingstrongcommunities.org. Every single one of our affiliates works within that umbrella organization, Building Strong Communities, and recruits from there as well. So if people reach out and they get involved in that, it's an 8 to 12 week program, depending on which trade you end up going with. And when you're done with that, you're in the apprenticeships for a lot of these trades. And as a veteran, if you have access to a GI Bill, you can use that GI Bill to help give you some financial resources while you're taking some of that training. So you're still bringing in the paycheck to pay the bills. And that's a real neat thing, having the GI Bill available for individuals while they're taking some training.
And Joe, what's the time frame? If a veteran started on that apprentice program this year, and is it a year or 2 years? How long before they start moving up?
Well, the way it works is it's an 8 to 12 week program, and then once you get into one of the trades, you have anywhere between a 2 and a 5 year apprenticeship within the trade itself once you're in. But you're moving up right from the get-go. You're earning hours, work hours, and you got to take the training, and it's a step process. You take training, you do your work hours, and you move up to the next level and the next level. Laborers can get through their apprenticeship in 2, 2.5 years pretty easily. You know, I believe pipe fitters is somewhere in that 5 year range to do that. But both of them, when you get to the end, it's a heck of an opportunity and a career to really be able to make a good middle class living and support your family.
Well, last question, Joe. Journeyman laborer, part of one of your locals, they make a pretty good living these days.
They do. It's about $62 an hour total package if you're a journey person on the building side. Real close to about $40 an hour on the check. Amazing benefits for health care. We have family health care. We have our own clinics that doesn't cost our members a penny if they go to our own clinics. It's some pretty amazing benefits, and you'll get to retire with dignity, and that goes for any of the trades, not just ours.
Once again, to learn more information about that, go to buildingstrongcommunities.org, and Joe will be happy to meet you and show you the ropes.
Absolutely. Hope to see you guys at RibFest.
Joe, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity, Tom. Have a wonderful day.
Joe Fowler with the Minnesota Building Trades and Local 563. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about a Central Minnesota Beyond the L-Ribbon Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in on a Central Minnesota Beyond the L-Ribbon Network. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Who are the movers and shakers in your communities? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you'll find that many of them are veterans. They are the leaders who take the initiative when something needs to be done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standards. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for the next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in the companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran. For additional information on how to hire a veteran, go to MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Since 2007, Anita Harris has been part of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon in the St. Cloud area and serves as a volunteer chairperson, co-chairperson, and treasurer for the regional Beyond the Yellow Ribbon in Minnesota, Central Minnesota, Warrior to Citizen. Anita, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom, and thank you for the invitation to be here today.
Now, you were on the show many years ago when we did a show up at up in Brainerd at Cragen's.
At Cragen's, that's correct.
And what were we talking about back then?
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. You've been part of it for a long time.
I have been, yes.
Well, that was good to see you here in the Twin Cities, but that's quite a setting up at Cragen's when we're sitting in the dining room and you're looking out at the lake. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Oh, that's for sure. Yes, the lake and great hospitality. It's perfect.
Now, my listeners want to know who you are, and what I'm reading here is you're an extension educator for military families in the Department of Family, Health, and Well-Being, Family Resiliency at the University of Minnesota Extension. So you work for the University of Minnesota.
That is correct.
And you're taking care of Minnesota or military families right there at the U.
Well, we're actually out in the communities. Yep. We take the research that is done at the University of Minnesota and go out into our communities and work with our service members and their families and veterans. Yes.
There's a bunch of our listeners that probably be saying, how can I get that job?
Right.
Pretty good gig, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And
yes.
And you've been part of the Yellow Ribbon for so many years. This is all a big part of your life.
Right. It comes pretty natural, and it's always been a passion of mine, working with our military. And so it's great fun.
Very good. Now, we want to go back a couple of years. I understand you went to school or college at the College of St. Benedict.
I did. Yes, my undergraduate degree was from St. Ben's, and went on to get my master's in educational leadership at the University of St. Thomas.
And some were mixed in there, St. John's in there, and of course, there St. John's and St. Thomas
right.
is quite a rivalry, isn't it?
Right. We work collaboratively across the lines there.
She's smiling, so this is all good for my audience. So in 2007... you joined or became part of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Can you tell us how that came to be?
Yes, sure. In 2007, there was a group of community leaders in Central Minnesota that gathered, actually from different organizations, they gathered together to begin a discussion about the University of Minnesota's Humphrey Institute for Public Policies. They had done some research on what they called the Warrior to Citizen effort. And the Warrior to Citizen is a statewide grassroots effort to support Minnesota's returning service members, their families, and veterans. And at the core of that is the challenge to all Minnesotans to think creatively, about ways in which our military can contribute their skills and experience to our communities, therefore as citizens. So we took on that name Warrior to Citizen with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and we continued to put our goals and objectives together. And in 2010, were proclaimed by the then Governor Plenty as the first regional yellow ribbon in the state of Minnesota.
We're speaking with Anita Harris, part of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. So 2010, somewhere around that time, or maybe a year earlier, you met a lady named Annette Kuiper.
Yes. Yes, we worked very closely with Annette.
So did she have you under her influence then?
Yes.
That happens.
Yes, great person, lots of energy, and it was just so easy and so natural to keep moving forward.
She taught you and your friends up there how to become a Yellow Ribbon entity and get through the process of applying for that. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Right. That is correct. It is quite a process that we took the time shortly after 2007, so 2008 to 2010, to really think about and dive deeper into our goals that we wanted to follow through with, those action steps. With our service members and their families and veterans in regards to communication, working in the community with our schools, with our churches and faith-based organizations, businesses, also with our representatives and senators. There are several different categories that we took a look at and wrote down our action steps and submitted them. To Annette and
the
team, all part of the plan. That's right, all part of the plan. And then, as mentioned in 2010, Governor Plenty gave the go-ahead for us to continue.
So you've been part of this for like 13 years plus because you were involved prior to being proclaimed.
That's correct.
What all does your Yellow Ribbon Network do? And this is Central Minnesota up around St. Cloud. I understand that, number one, sometimes it's hard to find military families that need help because they're proud and they don't want to ask for help. And number two, what kind of things do you do to help those families? Is it as simple as mowing the lawn, shoveling snow, maybe just stopping by to have coffee with the spouse of a service member that's deployed?
Yes, all of those. All of those that you mentioned, it can be the littler things and also the bigger things. In our region, we actually have 9 different cities. So St. Cloud, Sartell, St. Augusta, Sauk Rapids, St. Joe, Waite Park, Cold Spring, Rockville, and Richmond. And so they all bring such a rich, diverse community spirit amongst the 9 of them. So as you mentioned, it might be sitting down with a service member or their family, a spouse, and having coffee. It might be that they're...
Another adult to talk to.
Another adult to talk to, right? That's okay. Correct. It also could be that their furnace went out or their air conditioner. So then we work with those in the communities to provide whatever service they need at no cost or low cost. We're very happy to have worked alongside the Military Foundation in
the
helping
Minnesota
us.
Military Family Foundation.
Yes, the Minnesota Military Foundation.
I know that one. So some of those communities, yeah. By the way, good work naming all those communities. Some of those are rural communities, farm
yes.
communities.
Mm-hmm.
So is it easier to identify the military families that have a spouse deployed because everybody knows everybody?
Not exactly.
Okay.
No,
it
is not. Because of security reasons and such. But we work very closely with all the units at the St. Cloud Armory, as well as the St. Joe Reserve. Army Reserve, and then also at the AASF building number 2 in St. Cloud, which is out by the airport where the Air Guard is.
Well, the family readiness people from each of the units can call you when they need some help, and then you try to marshal some resources and
That's
take
correct.
Care of that military family.
Right, They, along with the veterans, the VA, in St. Cloud, they will give us a call. It could be from a Legion or VFW, whoever has heard about us or worked alongside of us, comes to our meetings and such.
So you've really got a network to find out who needs help. And once you find out who needs help and what help they need, you know the resources to go take care of it.
We hope to. Okay. If we don't know, we find someone that does. You mentioned lawn care and snow shoveling. And, yes, it's quite a network, and we just try to provide boots on the ground for
maybe sometimes just bringing cookies would be a good thing.
Yes.
Anita, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Anita Harris about the Central Minnesota Yellow Ribbon Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Anita Harris from the Central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And Anita, you told us in the first segment that's up by St. Cloud, and is it nine cities? Can you tell us those cities again?
It is. We are a regional Yellow Ribbon of nine cities, including St. Cloud, Sartell, St. Augusta, Sauk Rapids, St. Joe, Waite Park, Cold Spring, Rockville, and Richmond.
And you've been helping take care of Minnesota military families in that area since 2010, even a little before that.
Yes.
How would you describe the mission? What is your mission as the Yellow Ribbon Network?
Our mission is to be able to work alongside of all of our service members and their families and veterans where they're at, from pre-deployment all the way through deployment and then veterans, and that whatever services they might need or someone to talk to, we try to make those connections. So that has been our mission, as well as trying to increase community understanding as well.
So have you had the opportunity to go to pre-deployment meetings and post-deployment and make sure that the soldiers and airmen know that you're there and what you can do?
In earlier years, we were. The process has changed a little bit more. But whenever the invitation has been, you know, extended, or if it's close by, you know, of course, the pandemic was a different story. You know, things were
shut everything down.
Everything down, right?
Had to do it remotely.
Yes, but
very good. I understand that the your network is the Central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, and that you were one of the community networks that received an award at the Joining Community Forces event for all the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community networks across the state last month up at Camp Ripley. Were you up there?
I was, yes. It was a great group. We love gathering with JCF.
Had you been to Ripley before?
Oh, many times. Yes, many times. We do a lot of different venues and connecting and networking up there.
That's a great facility, and I think one of the best training bases in the country. What was this award all about?
Well, it was an appreciation for our service and dedication that we've provided in our region, and it was handed to us from the leadership of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and signed by Major General Sean Menke and Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. And it included hours that we have put in. We do that. We report that a quarterly, as well as also funds that we've provided, the number of service members or veterans and families that we have helped.
What a great opportunity to meet the Adjutant General and the Senior Enlisted Advisor and up at Camp Ripley is a great thing, and congratulations on the award. Now, I understand that most of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities and companies get together for a spring and fall summit where they come in and kind of trade ideas and do things. Have you had an opportunity to be part of that?
Yes, a couple years ago, but they are going to be hosting one in the St. Cloud area, possibly right in St. Cloud this fall. And so we as a Yellow Ribbon are going to help with the hosting of that. We're just waiting for some more of our details, and we are partnering with Capital One is Beyond the Yellow Ribbon there. So we are going to be working alongside of them.
So another opportunity to meet other Yellow Ribbon volunteers, get trade best practices, and get to know each other and find out what works best to help the military family.
Right, right, exactly.
Now, what would you say, what are your network's goals for this year?
Well, we have several different goals that we've started working on, and one is to reconnect with the school districts that are in our large regional Yellow Ribbon area, and they are in the St. Cloud, Sartell, Sauk Rapids, and then Recorey. And with the turnover in staff the last few years since post-pandemic and during the pandemic, we would like to kind of reestablish our relationship again with our the new people that have taken over, as well as reconnect with the colleges. We have six colleges, I don't know if you realize that, and universities that are in our Yellow Ribbon area. So, again, work alongside of them.
There. I didn't know there was
yes,
six.
Yes, there is.
So, Anita, we just got a little bit of time left for our listeners that live out by central Minnesota. How can somebody get involved and help with the central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Beyond the Yellow Ribbon?
We meet every second Thursday of the month over the lunch hour. And so people are more than welcome to come and join us, be an observer, but even more than that, to have those conversations with us, if they know of any partnerships, any connections that we can make that will continue to help our service members and their families and also our veterans. And we meet face-to-face now. We also meet virtually.
So how do they find you? Where can they go for more information?
Right. They can find us on our Facebook page, which is BTYR Central Minnesota. Or they can also email us at BTYRW, the number 2C, at gmail.com. So those would be a couple ways.
On Facebook, it's facebook.com/BTYR, stands for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Central MN. And another backslash.
Yes.
Okay. So BTYR Central MN backslash, where they'll find it on Facebook. And we invite everybody out in that neighborhood to get a hold of Anita, join her crew over at the Central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Anita, just a couple seconds left. Any final thought?
Oh, we just appreciate what everyone is doing out there for our service members and their families and veterans, and also, you as well, Tom. We really appreciate all of your hard work and efforts all these years.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I want to thank you for coming to the studio today, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
That was Anita Harris from the Central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We need to take a moment to remember. This week, we want to honor the life of Army Sergeant Jake Wallin. Sergeant Wallin demonstrated duty, honor, and country through his courage and service to others as a soldier while serving as a police officer for the Fargo Police Department. Sergeant Wallin's actions and sacrifice in the line of duty reflect the values of selfless service to community, state, and nation. Sergeant Wallin distinguished himself through exceptionally meritorious service to the Minnesota National Guard and the United States Army over his five-year career. He participated in overseas tours with services in Iraq and Afghanistan, earning a combat action badge. As a cannon crew member and a team chief, he provided leadership to multiple organizations, including Charlie Battery, one of the 194th Field Artillery Battalion, and Alpha Battery, one of the 151st Field Artillery Battalion. We're grateful to Sergeant Wallin for his service, offer our condolences and best wishes to his family and friends, and will honor his memory and the positive impact he left in our community. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Joe Fowler from the Minnesota Building Trades, Anita Harris from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk to a couple of recently deployed airmen and learn about scholarships available for our service members. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.